With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill-sponsored Sun Sport Football Podcast. I'm Derek McGregor. Today we have a rare treat. We're joined by our chief football writer, Robert Grieve. Robert, what kind of weekend you had?
Fantastic, Derek. Absolutely fantastic weekend. Watching lots of football. A beer or two as well on Saturday night, which is always good, Derek.
Excellent. I know you don't overdo it for a sports
point
of view, Robert.
I felt fantastic yesterday. Not. There you go. Not a good weekend, Derek. Lots of good football, which was the main thing.
I think our referees, Robert, are coming ever more sharper into focus again, and unfortunately for the wrong reasons. You were at Rangers Hamilton on Saturday. John Beaton. Two massively contentious decisions. Let me first of all ask your opinion on the Wes Fodderingham incident at 0-0. Handball outside the box?
Yeah, I mean, with an incident like that, Derek, it's pretty much black and white. He's either touched the ball with his hands outside the box or he hasn't. And I think the TV pictures are pretty conclusive that he did touch the ball. I know Wes Fodderingham spoke to Graham Murphy after the game, who said that he didn't touch it, but I think the pictures are pretty conclusive that he came out and grabbed the ball, and by the letter of the law, by all accounts, it should have been a red card. At that stage of the game, Derek, it could have been a big decision, or it certainly was a big decision not to take any action. Spoke to one or two Rangers fans who I know as well over the weekend, and even they were quite surprised that they got away with that one. To be fair with that one though, Derek, with John Beaton, who obviously is the referee, I think his linesman has to help him out there in that situation. He is.
Do you think it has to be dependent on the linesman in that?
Yeah,
one?
I think he's probably got a better view of it. When you look at the footage back, he's in line with it, and I think he has got to help him now. Presumably, John Beaton spoke to him and asked him for his advice through their communication setup, and presumably told him he either didn't see it or he didn't think it was a handball. But it's a mistake. I think if you're a Hamilton Accies fan or player or manager, as Martin Canning spoke after the game, you're going to be disappointed with that decision, because at that time in the game, Hamilton were very much in it.
Now, I've got a lot of sympathy often for officials, Robert. I'm sure you'll be the same, that it's easy for us to watch rerun after rerun on TV and make a decision on it, but watching it live, did it still seem an obvious one to you?
I mean, the angle we're at in the press box, you know, where we sit, working at the other end of the pitch, almost halfway into the other half, if you know what I mean. So you can imagine the angle, fans can imagine that angle, but you're right, at the time you thought he's out of the box, he's touched out of the box, and as I say, there was almost like a huge intake of breath with the Rangers fans. I kind of think, oh, here we go, what happens here? And as I say, by the letter of law, you're kind of wondering what should be the decision, but by all accounts, in those circumstances, it's a red card. So I think Wes Fodderingham had a lucky escape.
The January goalkeeping signing, Jack Anik, would have been gutted he stayed on the pitch.
Well, he might have been sitting there thinking he was going to get his debut. Yeah, absolutely. But listen, these things happen. Is it bad refereeing? You could argue it is, obviously, but I think these things happen. I think if we slow, as you rightly say, Derek, we slow it down and we look at it. Even at the time, you're thinking it's a red card, but you're thinking it's a red card, or you're thinking it's a handball. You don't know for certain. So I think with those kind of ones, it's very difficult for the right linesman and the referee. They should get it right, of course they should, but I think we're going to discuss another incident in that match, which for me was more black and white in terms of what should have happened. But yeah, it didn't cover John Beaton or his team of officials in any great light with that one.
Just before we get to the Joe Garner one, the Fodderingham one was at 0-0. I mean, is it too easy to say that could have dramatically changed the game? No. Could you have seen Hamilton winning it? Or?
Not really, we'll never know. I mean, it's...
Or even a replay.
You don't need to be even at the game to know it's going to change the game. You know, you don't have to ask me that. You'll know yourself. If nothing each, if Hamilton got an extra man, the game changes dramatically. Of course it does. There's absolutely no shadow of a doubt about that. Would Rangers have scored six goals? Probably not. But Rangers played well on Saturday. But yeah, there's absolutely no doubt it was a big moment in the game.
Garner, the score is 2-0. I mean, shuddering challenge, to say the least, on Dougie Emery. You're taking that one. Stays in the pitch.
Yeah, for me it's a red card. It's a red card all day long. I mean, I'm talking to the Rangers fans and how they reacted, or some of them behind me reacted to the Fodderingham incident. When Joe Garner takes his swipe at Dougie Emery, there is a huge intake of breath with the Rangers fans in the main stand behind me, because it was like, whoa, you know, what has he done? It's a red card for me all day long. I know that the word reckless gets used, and reckless technically is a is a yellow card offence. But for me, Joe Garner has no control over what he's doing. He goes in there probably to clean the ball out and clean the man out at the same time, which I don't have a problem with. But I mean, he's so late, it's untrue. And for me, he was a very, very lucky boy. I mean, we spoke to Dougie Emery after the game, and he was incensed by it. He spoke about how it was a UFC challenge. I don't watch much cage fighting, Derek. I know you're hugely into it, but no, I don't know about that. But yeah, for me, it's a red card. I mean, Joe Garner's already missing the Old Firm game that came next week anyway, so it wouldn't have impacted on that. But I just couldn't really understand what John Beaton saw with it, what his linesman saw, his assistant saw with it, because, as I say, everyone watching that thought, wow, that's a heavy, heavy challenge. And for me, I don't think there was any doubt about it. It should have been a red card.
I mean, I think the biggest thing that frustrates managers, players, coaches, ourselves, fans, inconsistency, Robert. I was at Hibs Area United on Saturday. The boy Scott McKenna just about halves John McGinn. It's a straight red. I also saw the Garner incident at Easter Road. I had a chance to see it on TV. I couldn't see the difference. And yet one ref sees it one way and the other sees it another.
Yeah, you're right. It's inconsistency, I think. Inconsistency, which will frustrate players. I know it will frustrate supporters. I mean, we've seen countless red cards this season. Scott McDonald against Rangers. He wins the ball but clears through. Kenny Miller, red card. There was others in that game which weren't red cards. Rob Kiernan, if memory serves me right, could have been. There was a red card again for Scott McDonald, I think, later the following week.
Yep.
There's been a number of incidents, and it's a consistency. There doesn't seem to be any joined-up thinking with these incidents, where referees can say, well, that's why it was. Because, as you say, you can pick up two or three different incidents and say challenges are ignored. There's no punishment. And I think, again, we'll maybe touch on it in a minute, there was one in the Celtic game yesterday which I think comes into that category. It's the fact that the referees seem to just do it on an individual kind of incident basis. There doesn't seem to be any joined up thinking with it.
I mean, it was Nick Walsh, the referee at Easter Road on Saturday, Robert. No hesitation, straightforward. You refer to the Celtic game yesterday, and I know that's an incident as well that astounds you. I mean, the referee, yeah. Stephen McLean, a buoy.
Yeah, but I wasn't at the game, I watched it on television. His challenge on Stelios Dimitriou.
Uncompromising.
Yeah, that's a polite way of putting it, Derek. He wins the ball initially, but it's his follow through. I think it's a heavy, heavy challenge. And I think if he is sent off for that challenge, I don't think he can have any complaints. Now, the referee didn't take any action, really. I don't even know if he awarded a free kick. Could be wrong on that one. But for me, that was a heavy challenge. And that's the kind of challenge you don't want to see in the game. He'll claim, and Celtic fans may even claim, that he won the ball initially, but it's his follow-through. And I think it was quite similar to the Kieran Tierney challenge on him, again, and a challenge we don't want to see. There was a lot of talk about, but I think, I mean, you'll struggle to see a rerun of the one yesterday anywhere. On Sky, when they discussed it, it was very much, well, you win the ball, these things happen.
Moved on quickly.
The Samaritan fullback, you're going to get hurt type thing. There was no real kind of inquest. I don't want to see the Celtic player get into trouble, but for me, it was a heavy, heavy challenge, and I think he was lucky.
You're listening to the William Hill-sponsored SunSport Football Podcast. I'm Derek McGregor. I'm joined by SunSport's chief football writer, Robert Grieve. We're discussing referees. Robert, of all the games you've seen this season, some people feel the standard of a refereeing is going downhill again. What's your overall impression of the referees you've seen this season?
I've got a lot of sympathy, Derek, and I've said this before about Scotland's referees, but even referees in general. I think their job is almost impossible these days, with the amount of reruns and footage and coverage there are in games. It's a job I wouldn't do for all the money in the world. Don't think they can win, but at the same time, like we're discussing a minute or two ago, it's the consistency of it. It's the fact that they don't seem to all work with the same rule book. You know, there's red cards and yellow cards which some referees deem, and there's red cards and yellow cards which others don't. So I think that's the issue, but I'm not going to sit here and slaughter Scotland's referees. I think they do their best. I think we have some good referees. But I think there has to be an acceptance that with all the coverage, and we do it as much as any other paper, and rightly so, that they're under the microscope. They're scrutinised with every single decision. Here we're talking about decisions and incidents over the weekend, which people at the time were kind of glossing over the Abuye one in the Celtic game. Here we are discussing it. You know, a referee can't almost win in those circumstances, so I'm not going to sit here and slaughter them. As I say, I wouldn't do it for all the money in the world.
The Scottish Cup draw, Robert, has thrown up semi-finals of Celtic Rangers, Aberdeen Hibs. Now, Martin Wackhorn, quite a talking point, has come out after Rangers' thumping win over Hamilton and made it clear he sees Rangers as the only team that can stop Celtic from winning the treble. Now, in fairness, they've got the first go at it. Do you agree with him?
I think Celtic will win the treble. So if you look at it that way,
it's almost like he's implying if Celtic beat Rangers, then whoever they play in the final is not going to stop
them. I wouldn't necessarily agree. No, well, then I don't agree with that then. If you're wanting to put it that way, I don't agree with it. I think if Aberdeen or Hibs were to play Celtic in the final, I think they could give them a game. I don't think there's any doubt about that. We saw on Sunday St Mirren giving Celtic a game. I think in any one given day, anyone can beat anyone. So I don't necessarily go along with what Martin Wycorn is saying. However, what I will say, Martin Wycorn is well within his rights to say that. And if you're a Rangers fan or a Rangers player, then you should be thinking that you can stop Celtic. If you don't think that, you shouldn't be there. I think we all agree that Celtic are far and away the best team in the country right now. I don't think there's any doubt about that whatsoever. But if you're a Rangers player, Derek, then you should be thinking that you're going to be capable of stopping them. You could argue that the points differential in the league isn't what it should be. From Rangers' point of view, I mean, in terms of the gap's incredibly big, and if you're a Rangers player, you should be embarrassed by that gap.
Yep.
They're not even second in the table. So, if you look at it from that point of view, they're not even the second best team in the country right now because they're sitting third in the league. But as I say, I think if you're a Rangers player, you should be thinking that you can give Celtic a game in any given day. So I wouldn't really have any real problem with what Martin Wycorn said at all.
You've made it clear right at the start of our conversation on this particular subject, Robert, that you see Celtic winning the treble. However, are Rangers capable, and clearly by that stage they're going to have a new coach in place, can Rangers do it in a one-off game? Are they capable? As convinced as you are that Celtic will win and ultimately get the treble? It's a big question, I know.
I don't think there's any doubt that Celtic are a better team than Rangers right now, so they should, if you're asking me who will win on Sunday, it's going to be Celtic. I think Celtic could win the game comfortably, but I hate to use the cliche that a derby game, anything can happen, but I mean, if Rangers were to, it wouldn't be the biggest surprise in the world if Rangers were to get a draw or even get a win if they could. But if you're asking me right now, I think Celtic will win the game comfortably. I think it'll be a very, very difficult game for Rangers. I know they've got a couple of decent results in the last two games. I was at the game on the weekend there against Hamilton, and we've spoken about that, about the kind of things that went their way, but they played reasonably well. But if you're asking me right now, I think Celtic will be extremely confident into this derby game, this Old Firm game, regardless of who's in charge, whether it's Graham Murty, whether it's Pedro Kishina, whether it's anyone else. Players that Celtic have, for me, are night and day better than the Rangers players.
The Hibs-Aberdeen semi-final clearly is going to get largely overshadowed, but it's a cracking semi-final as well, Robert. And that, you know, as I say, I was at Hibs on Saturday. John McGinn, a player you know very well, terrific goal, terrific young player. We then look at Aberdeen, Graham Shinney, again, terrific goal and another terrific player. I'm just curious your thoughts on the two of them, and also from a Scotland context, Robert.
Yeah, I've spoken about John McGinn before. I've watched John McGinn since he was a youngster breaking into the St Mirren team. Had high hopes from then, and I'm delighted that he's fulfilling that potential, because it's not easy for a young player to emerge and then actually live up to the billing. I think he's got another move in him, with no disrespect to Hibs, and I think Scotland caps are inevitable for him, for me, inevitable. I think he's a player who will play many times for Scotland. I think once he gets in there, he's already had a taste of it and not looked out of place. So yeah, John McGinn, Graham Shinney as well, Aberdeen doing extremely well. I think he's maybe not thought about in the same way as John McGinn. I think he hasn't been in squads as often. I think he's maybe been in one or two squads as a fringe player. So I think he has probably got more to do, despite the fact that he's playing for the second best team in the country right now in a higher division than John McGinn. But yeah, I mean, it's great to see these guys coming through. I mean, the one thing about the Scotland squad, Derek, as you know, is we're fairly well blessed in the midfield department. So
we wish we were centre-halves.
Maybe if Graham Shinney can play centre-half, he'd get 150 caps. But clearly that's not the case. But these guys should have a chance of being involved in the Canada friendly in a couple of weeks. And if they can do well on that, then who knows, they could push for a place against Slovenia, and then the England game will come in June. So yeah, John McGinn especially, for me, I think he has got a big Scotland future.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Celtic manager Brendan Rodgers has given St Mirren a massive compliment.
Well, he knows a good football team, Derek.
Well, you know, and I know you're speaking objectively with that one, Robert. You know, claiming that they're the best opposition, domestic opposition they've faced this season. Great compliment.
Well, I was just
Was it a noiser?
I was just disappointed he didn't mention European competition as well. Forget your Barcelonas and, I mean, St Mirren have got to be right up there. Yeah, listen.
Was it a tribute to St Mirren or was it a noise-up for Aberdeen and Rangers?
I think it's easy to look at it as a noise-up for specifically Rangers, given there's an Old Firm game coming in a few days' time. But I think genuinely, knowing Brendan Rodgers from the way he speaks to us on a weekly basis, I think he would have meant that genuinely, sincerely. I don't think he would have meant it as a huge noise-up. Of course, as I say, we're playing, there's an Old Firm game coming in a few days, so that was maybe at the back of his mind that he's thrown that little grenade in there that, there you go, that the best team we've faced isn't Rangers and it's a team struggling at the bottom end of the championship. But yeah, I think if you're a St Mirren player, if you're Jack Ross, you'll be delighted with that. They've got some huge games coming up, one on Wednesday against Raith Rovers at Starks Park. So if you're sitting in that dressing room, I don't think there's any doubt you'll take a boost from that. St Mirren ended up with a defeat that you'd have probably expected, most of us, if not everyone, would have expected that defeat. But I tell you what, from what I could see, and I only watched the game on the television.
Terrific.
They gave them a game, and had St Mirren scored to go 2-0 up when the ball crashes off the crossbar from Moussa Dembele's kind of deflection, his swipe at the ball. If St Mirren go 2-0 up, we will never know. But for me, there could be a major shock in the camp.
I mean, it's all too easy for praise for St Mirren to be misconstrued as kind of be patronising, yeah. But they were terrific, and the tactics were spot on. I thought it was fascinating how they were always happy to let Dedryck Boyata have the ball,
yeah.
And subsequent analysis proves it's a smart move, because more often than not, he's giving the ball away. You know, that shows you Jack Ross is a good thinker of the game.
Yeah, and he made the point after the game that St Mirren had a very important league game last midweek against Hibs, so they were concentrating fully in that game. They got a great, fantastic 2-0 win in that game. They were concentrating on that up until Wednesday, so the cup game is almost an afterthought.
Mm.
But as you say, he's got enough about him, Jack, to prepare for that in a way that he didn't just go there and say, right, we're just going to shut up shop, we're just going to try and defend as much as we can and maybe nick a goal. They had a game plan. They had a thought-out game plan. And I wonder, they touched on this in Fairness TV guys yesterday about how you wonder if other managers now will look at that and think, is that maybe a way that we can identify a weakness in the Celtic side and maybe try and exploit it with better players? But yeah, it was fantastic for St Mirren. Obviously the result isn't, but if you're a St Mirren fan, you were at that game, you've at least seen your team go there and give them a game. And I think that's all we can really ask for, Derek. The priority for St Mirren this season and right now is to stay in the Championship, but they're going to take a huge boost, I think, from that, despite the fact that it ends up in a 4-1 defeat.
I mean, me and you, Robert, were at Parkhead when Jack Ross took his Alloa team to play Celtic in the League Cup, and Celtic struggled that night as well. Yeah. Took him a long time to make the breakthrough. What I particularly liked about Jack Ross's post-match interview yesterday was he was asked straight away, how do you feel? And he says, we're gutted.
Yeah.
You know, and the boys are gutted. We came here to try and get to the semi-finals. I loved that, Robert.
Well, Derek, if you're in that Simon bench on Saturday and you get to, when did Celtic equalise? 60 minutes?
Yep.
59 minutes or something. If you're after an hour and you're sitting there 1-0 ahead,
you're
starting to believe that this could be one of the biggest shocks of the season, of many a season. So you've got to that stage where you're thinking, you know what, we're 1-0 up here. Celtic haven't really turned up. You know, you've got to that point, so there's no doubt there's disappointment there, albeit it ends up 4-1, it ends up fairly comfortable for Celtic in the end. But I think you've got to take a lot of credit from the way they played. And as I say, Jack Ross isn't going to be sitting there delighted with a 4-1 defeat.
No.
He's going to be disappointed, especially given the start they made to the game.
He's had a horrific start at St Mirren, St Mirren manager with the stats, but it looks now that he's finally making his mark. I think their confidence was high going into the Celtic game. The big thing now is Wednesday night, Robert. Raith Rovers away. I mean, is it one thing to play as well as he did against Celtic? Can they now reproduce that at Starks Park?
Yeah, well,
Wednesday night.
As I touched on it a minute or two ago, Derek. That's
more important, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But they played well against Hibs last week. And again, you're talking about Brendan Rodgers. Credit to St Mirren after the game on Sunday. Neil Lennon was full of praise for St Mirren.
Fair point.
After they beat Hibs.
Good point.
So it wasn't as if St Mirren at the minute in the league, I think the previous week they played Ayr United in a pressure game, and they didn't scrape a win. They won because they deserved to win against Hibs last midweek. Again, they didn't scrape a 1-0, nicking a goal. They won because they deserved to win.
Yep.
They won by playing good football, and they won by being the better team. I think if they're a St Mirren fan right now, that's key. They're not just winning games, but just sheer determination and just nicking a goal. They're actually playing well, and they're actually deserving to win. So I think getting into this Raith Rovers game, I think they'll be full of confidence. And I think Raith, if I'm a Raith Rovers fan, I'm worried. Because I think they are the team on the slide at the minute. And if you're asking me who could end up getting relegated right now, Derek, I would go for Raith Rovers.
Well, St Mirren, you know, aside from the scoreline yesterday, you know, St Mirren shouldn't be downhearted by yesterday. But, you know, you look at St Mirren are bottom of the table. They're five off of Ayr in the playoff zone with a game in hand. And they're six off Raith with a game in hand. I mean, a victory on Wednesday.
Yeah, huge.
You know.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, Derek, and you'll back me up on this. I've been pretty confident all along. Throughout the season, I thought St Mirren would stay up.
Get their act together.
I thought there was enough quality there, and especially with the changes that Jack made in the January transfer window. He was brave. He looked at that squad he had after the first half and realised it wasn't going to be good enough to keep them up. And he's made big, bold changes. He brought in a lot of players in January. It's virtually a different squad now from the one that started the season. So I think he recognised that there had to be change. He recognised that there had to be that something had to give. And bear in mind, they lost some of his key players in January as well, players who were moved on. Crucially, Stevie Marlon, I think, stayed, or he obviously did stay, but crucially, I think that was a key moment for St Mirren, because he is someone on his game is as good as anyone in that division, and I think the signing of Stephen McGinn also has been massive for them. So yeah, right now, it's looking optimistic for St Mirren. There's some positive vibes coming from the club now, but I tell you what, they do still have a lot to do. I don't think that should be forgotten about. And Jack Ross said after the game yesterday, if St Mirren are to stay in this division, it will be arguably a bigger achievement than it would have been beating Celtic at the weekend. So that tells you all you need to know about where they are and what needs to be done.
You're listening to the William Hill sponsored Sun Sport Football Podcast. I'm Derek McGregor. I'm joined by our chief football writer, Robert Grieve. Robert, Motherwell, great win at Kilmarnock at the weekend, and obviously for Stephen Robinson, the caretaker, potentially massive result for them. How do you see the manager's job going there? Do you think that has put Robinson in the box seat for this job now, or is there more to it than that?
I would be surprised if he got the job, Derek, if I'm being honest. I think he's clearly got something as a coach. By all accounts, people I speak to rave about him as a coach. He's meant to be superb behind the scenes. From that point of view, he clearly knows the game. I would be surprised. I know he has been a manager before. He's got a kind of odd career CV, hasn't he, between being a number two and being a manager himself and back to being a number two, and he worked at Motherwell before but not with Mark McGee, and then he came back in and here he is as manager. It's quite kind of perplexing when you look at it, but I tell you what a huge result for them. I know Kilmarnock, looking at that game at the weekend, had they got 3 points, I mean they would almost be safe. They would almost be out of the relegation issue had they won that game, but they didn't. They missed an opportunity, and I mean you look at the table, Inverness and 22 points rooted to the bottom, and there's another five teams within 6 points, you know. So yeah, I think that's going to go to the wire. But Robinson, he's got to be looked at as a contender for the job if he wants the job, and maybe that's something he needs to make clear if he hasn't done so already. If you're asking me personally, I think Motherwell might be looking for an appointment with Robinson to work with the next appointment, but hey, you could be wrong. He might be as good as anyone.
Two players featured particularly prominently in that game who you happen to know very well, Robert. Let me start with the goalkeeper, Motherwell goalkeeper Craig Sampson. Now, you know, we've had a fierce debate over the last week with our colleague Kenny McDonald, who was particularly scathing of Craig Sampson last weekend. I think it was a 2 he gave him. Ouch. But, you know, whatever the merits of Craig's performance against Dundee last weekend, how much credit do you give Craig for the way he responded at the weekend there?
Yeah, well, I know that Kenny McDonald was extremely critical of Craig, and that's Kenny's right, fair play to him. I've been critical of players in the past myself, as we all have been, so I don't have any issue with that. But I think Craig was irked by the suggestion that he couldn't come back from a poor performance.
He was wounded, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, I think...
Badly wounded.
He saw his questions over his professionalism, that he couldn't come back. That was something which Kenny wrote.
Is that below the belt for a player when it gets to that level?
I don't know if it's below the belt. I think each player may look at it differently. A lot of players will not care less about what you or I write about them. Some players will see it as their professionalism questioned. Each to their own. I don't have a major problem with that. But I know that Craig looked at it and thought, well, I think he realised and accepted that he'd a poor performance the week before. Obviously, the Motherwell fans were extremely critical of him, but I think the fact that he was able to come back and play so well against Motherwell proves that he does have the capability and the character to deal with setbacks and to deal with criticism and deal with poor performances. I don't think he played very well the week before, but it shows his mental character, his mental strength to be able to come back and play as well as he did and help Motherwell get a fantastic win.
Below the belt was the wrong phrase to use. I apologise, Robert, but what I meant to say was, is, you know, players can take most criticism, but if their professionalism is called into question, that always, I think, oh, hang on a minute. Question my ability, don't question my professionalism.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily know if Kenny was questioning Craig Sampson's professionalism. That's certainly how it was interpreted.
That's how Craig took it, yeah.
You would need to ask Kenny if that's what he meant by it. I don't know. But what I'm saying is that Craig Sampson, for me, and I've known Craig Sampson a long time, I would never question his professionalism. Whether you think he's a good goalkeeper or a bad goalkeeper, I've seen him have poor games, and I've written that he's had poor games. Equally, I've seen him have a lot of fantastic games. And for me, he's the kind of goalkeeper and the kind of player that doesn't always get the credit he deserves. And so I was absolutely delighted. I make no apology for saying it. I was delighted for the fact that he played so well for Motherwell on Saturday under that scrutiny, because I tell you what, another bad performance and he would have had it again, he would have had more criticism. But no, he stood up, he stood tall against one of his old clubs, by the way, a place where, you know, under probably more pressure going back to Rugby Park, he stood up to it, and I was delighted for him.
Chris Boyd, 200 goals over 15 and a half years, top flight 200 goals, phenomenal achievement. Yeah. What can you say about Chris Boyd? Again, another player you know particularly well, Robert.
You see, there's many goals as you for the Fish Suppers, Derek.
Steady on now. Well, he's still got a way to go.
All right, maybe that was pushing.
He's still got 100 to go, Robert.
Maybe need another 10 years in his career to catch up with you. That
I mean, phenomenal.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, again, he scores his 200th goal, and by all accounts, speaking to Colin Duncan, who was at the game, our colleague, who was raving about his performance, said it was fantastic. He was looking like the Chris Boyd of old, almost, you know. And Chris will tell you yourself, he's getting to the latter stages of his career, to put it that way. But I tell you what, he still has a huge impact in that team. He leads by example as the captain. I know he was disappointed with the penalty miss. Congratulations to him for hitting 200 goals. As you say, I think that's a remarkable achievement for his spells at Kilmarnock and Rangers.
One of the best goal scorers in Scottish football history.
I don't think you can argue with that. I think, and there's always been a debate that what else did Chris Boyd bring to his team other than goals. But I tell you what, how many teams would take that in a heartbeat, you know?
And yet he misses a penalty, Robert. Now, the boy, you know, does that annoy him more than the goal he scored for the milestone?
Yeah, because I think Chris realises, as all the Kilmarnock players will have, is that game is a huge game at the weekend. I think they were looking at it from the point of view had they won it, as I said earlier on, they were touching on being safe for the season. You know, it was a huge, huge game for them. I think they went into it with that mindset. So had they got a point out of it, given, I mean, they took the lead and then they throw that away from poor defensive mistakes, and Chris gets a penalty, he takes it and he strikes the post with it. By all accounts, it was a well-struck penalty, but despite what Willie Miller said in the sports scene, I couldn't believe on Saturday that it was a good penalty. No, it wasn't a good penalty because he missed. A good penalty is one that hits the back of the net, but I think he struck the inside of the post and the ball come back out an inch to the left, and I think it's a goal. But yeah, he'll bounce back from that. He's had many disappointments in his career, Chris, and he'll handle that fine, and I'm sure his 200th goal of the season will not be his last.
Robert, as always, thank you for...
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
An excellent opinion and analysis.
Thanks, Derek.